You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And this is the Locked On Jets podcast for Monday, September 21st, 2020. I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. Today's episode is brought to you by Pepsi. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they will join another league, the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. We're here after the Jets were blown out by the San Francisco 49ers yesterday at MetLife Stadium in the home opener. San Francisco won the game 31-13. I don't know whether the Jets will ultimately get the number one overall pick in the 2021 draft. I don't know if the Jets will finish the year with the worst record in the league, but I feel pretty confident in saying that 2 weeks into the 2020 NFL season, the Jets are the worst team in the league. And if you're the owner, Chris Johnson, right now, reality has to be setting in on you that you were totally scammed by Adam Gase. Because Adam Gase came to you last January of 2019, and he sold you as this offensive guru, and he had Peyton Manning call and tell you how great he was. And you've gone out publicly as recently as last week and talked about how your fans don't really know what they're talking about. The media doesn't really know what they're talking about. Anybody who's critical of Adam Gase doesn't really know what they're talking about. And now Adam Gase is making you look like an absolute fool. If you're Chris Johnson right now, this has to be a very startling reality. And maybe, just maybe, it is starting to set in that he needs more help when he runs this team, that he doesn't actually know as much as he thinks he knows. And that's been one of the problems with the Jets over the last few years, is that you have a guy who came in Chris Johnson, who had no experience running an NFL team. And he came in, and he thought he knew everything. I mean, if you listen to him, he thought he knew what it took to build a winning team, even though he's never been part of building a winning NFL team. This is not a guy who's been part of the action for years in a great organization, a team that's won Super Bowls, and maybe he's had a secondary role while his brother ran the team. He was not really part of this team, and the Jets have not been that successful anyway. And he came in, and the way he talks to the media, how dismissive he is of any criticism. You heard it while Mike Maccagnan was the general manager. Totally dismissive of the idea Mike Maccagnan couldn't do the job until he realized everybody else was right. And you have to think that it's starting to set in that he has been scammed by Adam Gase. Adam Gase is a football scam. He goes in and he, you know, sells you on the idea, I coached Peyton Manning. I'm the reason Peyton Manning was great. Ridiculous, of course. Peyton Manning was already a first ballot Hall of Famer. This is not exactly somebody like Bruce Arians or somebody like Tom Moore, an assistant who worked with Peyton Manning early in his career. This is Peyton Manning after he's already a living legend. And coaching Peyton Manning, that coincidence, the fact that Adam Gase was able to coach Peyton Manning has gotten Adam Gase, has set Adam Gase up financially for life. Because Adam Gase has been a head coach in this league twice, and he's failed once. He's on his way to failing a second time. And Chris Johnson was out there last week telling everybody, hey, Adam Gase is great. Our fans don't know what they're talking about. And I'm not saying you should run the team based on what the fans think. I'm saying it's a problem when the fans realize something. It's when something's so obvious that the fans realize it, but you can't figure it out. Chris Johnson has been a disaster as Jets owner. And everything you saw on that field yesterday, that is Chris Johnson. That is what Chris Johnson has built. Because Chris Johnson knew more than everybody else. Chris Johnson was smarter than everybody when Mike Maccagnan should have been fired after the 2018 season. Chris Johnson said, you know what, I'm going to wait until I let him spend $120 million until I actually do my deep dive on Maccagnan. And then after he did his deep dive, he realized, oh my God, this guy's not any good. But somehow Chris Johnson still thought he knew. He somehow still thought he knew that Adam Gase is a great coach. Who cares what anybody else thinks? Who cares what the record says? Who are you going to believe, me or Adam Gase's actual record? Well, this is what happens when you have a bad owner. And you're seeing just, I mean, this is not exactly limited to the Jets, some of the concepts you're seeing. You're seeing a guy in Chris Johnson who was promoted because his brother owned the team. And I'm going to give you some advice. I've given this advice in the past. If you are ever in a position of power, don't hire relatives or close friends for jobs they're not qualified for. I'm not even a big fan of hiring relatives and close friends for jobs that they actually are qualified for, because I think you create complications doing things like that. You know, it's very difficult to judge them objectively. If you have a personal relationship with them, it's difficult to fire them if they're not doing the job effectively. But definitely don't do it if they're not qualified for the job. And that's what you have with the Jets right now. That's what you have with this owner. This owner has been a disaster. And I think anybody who's been saying people are too hard on him, I think they're probably coming to a reality too, because this has been a catastrophic 3-4 year term for Chris Johnson. And the other thing you have to realize, Chris Johnson came in and he thought he knew how to build a winning team in the NFL, even though he had no experience doing it. The worst type of manager is the guy who doesn't realize what he's doing, but still thinks he's smarter than everybody else. That person does the most damage possible. And that's what you saw on that field yesterday, starting from the first snap of the game. At least this week, the Jets did not go through the opening kickoff and commit a penalty. At least the ugliness waited until the opening kickoff was over. It took until the first play of scrimmage for the Jets to have a catastrophic breakdown, because on the first play from scrimmage, not the kickoff, but the first play from scrimmage, Raheem Mostert ran for 80 yards for a touchdown. And from that point, it was pretty much over. San Francisco's third drive, Jimmy Garoppolo found Jordan Reed for a touchdown. Their fourth drive, he found Jordan Reed again for a touchdown. It was 21-3 at halftime. I mean, early in the second quarter, San Francisco's got four drives. They have three touchdowns. It's 21-3. The game's pretty much over. They padded the score in the second half. They added another field goal, 46-yarder. They got a stop after an interception, held the Jets to a field goal, which we'll get to later. And then Jared McKinnon provided the icing on the cake early in the fourth quarter. It was 31-6. The Jets then scored a garbage time touchdown. And yeah, I could give you more details. I don't think you want them. But ahead here on the Locked On Jets podcast, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that went wrong for the Jets in this game. And, you know, we may have to extend this. This may have to be a two-part game recap. We may have to extend this into tomorrow because of what a disaster this game was for the New York Jets. We'll be back here on the Locked On Jets podcast, though. Visa knows that local businesses are the heartbeats of our communities. Whether they're our corner stores, our coffee spots, or our favorite shops, local businesses have always been there for us. They remember our orders, they call us by name, always giving back, making a difference, and going that extra mile to support us in our community. And right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So it's time for us to return the favor. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at local businesses and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community. Because where you and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be, official partner of the NFL. Locked On Jets podcast on this Monday, the day after the 49ers beat the Jets at MetLife Stadium 31-13. Just a completely disgraceful performance by the New York Jets. I don't have a problem in theory with the idea of Frank Gore being on this football team. If you decided to bring him in so that he can kind of show LaMichael Perine the ropes, rookie running back the Jets drafted out of Florida, maybe you bring Frank Gore in and Gore can kind of show him, this is how I train, this is how I lift weights, this is my diet, this is what I do on the field, this is what I do in the locker room, this is what I do off the field. Frank Gore has had a great career in this league. And if you want to have him here to mentor LaMichael Perine, I got no problem with it. And Frank Gore probably has enough in the tank that if you give him like five carries, five touches or so in a game, he's not going to hurt you. In a week where maybe you have some injuries, maybe you're really stretched, maybe you can give him 10 touches occasionally. There is no path to winning for the New York Jets in this league that involves Frank Gore getting 15 carries and a half. And if you're watching this game, these announcers are like marveling at every time Frank Gore runs for 2 yards. They're like, oh my God, Frank Gore, this guy's amazing. He ran for 2 yards there. And they're going on and on about Frank Gore yesterday, how amazing it is that he's, look, it is amazing on some level at his age that he's a running back who's still in the league. And yes, he keeps himself in great shape for a guy that's his age. And yes, maybe he can help the Jets in some capacity, but he is not a guy who can take 15 carries and a half, because as they're praising how amazing he is and how amazingly he's playing, he's taking those 15 carries in the first half and only gaining 47 yards. He's not even making 50 yards on 15 carries. And you can see that some of these, you know, you're not watching the all 22 film, so you don't know for sure, but on some of these plays, it looks like they're pretty well blocked. And they're close to, there's close to enough room for a running back to go the distance or break a big run. And maybe a younger back with more burst in it still in his legs could have turned those into big plays. But the Jets decided that this is their strategy for the game, that we're going to just keep giving the ball to Frank Gore and giving the ball to Frank Gore and giving the ball to Frank Gore. And it's almost like Adam Gase during this game forgot that the winning team is not the team that is the team that scores more points. It's almost like Adam Gase thought you win the game by giving the most carries to Frank Gore. Whichever team gives the most carries to Frank Gore in the game wins, because that's the only thing I can come up with to explain that ridiculous game plan where you are giving the ball over and over and over to a running back in his late 30s whose best days are far behind him. No offense to Frank Gore. There was a point in time where I would have loved to have Frank Gore on this team. Frank Gore may go to the Hall of Fame one day. He probably will go to the Hall of Fame one day. If this was years and years and years ago, this was 10 years ago, if this was 12 years ago, I'd be really happy to have Frank Gore on this team. I think you could justify a game plan that features Frank Gore. Those days are long behind us. Frank Gore, at best, is a complimentary player and a locker room mentor to young players. But and this is what I worried about when the Jets signed Frank Gore, is that Adam Gase, and I understand Le'Veon Bell. I don't even care if Le'Veon Bell's out. I don't care if you're down all of your starting receivers as the Jets were yesterday. I know there are no good options for this offense. But guess what? One of those not good options is giving the ball to Frank Gore 15 times and a half. Because guess what? It didn't work. And Adam Gase in the post-game press conference is talking about how they moved the ball in the first. You scored 3 points, Adam. Maybe do something other than give the ball to Frank Gore. Frank, I hate that like I'm this upset about giving the ball to Frank Gore because I loved Frank Gore in the player during his day. But this is vintage Adam Gase. We're just going to – this guy's my favorite, so I'm just going to keep giving it to him. He's an old skill player. His best days are behind him. That's going to be the feature of my offense because I'm Adam Gase. And I know that I don't and nobody else realizes that winning the game does not require scoring points. You win the game by giving the ball to Frank Gore. What's going on with this team? I just don't understand. I really don't. And this is vintage Adam Gase featuring favored veterans. And I hate to say this because this is pure speculation and maybe it's unfair, but it's almost like when I'm watching this game yesterday that Adam Gase has spent 2 years with Le'Veon Bell. And we know he did not want to sign Le'Veon Bell, so he's not been featuring him the way we've all wanted him to feature Le'Veon Bell. It's almost like, now I'll show you. Now I got my back in there. And I'm going to feature him. And I don't know what Adam Gase was trying to accomplish in this game by the way he approached it. Does Adam Gase also realize that there were other passes in the playbook other than screens? And again, I get that Jets are down 3 starting receivers. Breshad Perriman gets hurt during yesterday's game. They're already without Denzel Mims. They're already without Jamison Crowder. So you are a little bit limited. But it's amazing to me that like they're not trying to feature the speed that's on the field. There aren't any ways to try and manufacture, you know, to try and take shots with Josh Malone. There was no attempt to try and exploit Chris Herndon, who's like the one talented skill player you have left. And I know Herndon dropped some passes yesterday. He dropped a touchdown pass. I get that. I know Herndon did not play well. But this is like the one decent skill player you still have on the team. They did not make any attempt to try and stretch the field with Chris Herndon. There was no creative. There was no way to. There was no attempt to try and put defenders in conflict. After you're giving the ball to Frank Gore over and over, maybe taking a shot with play action could be a good idea. Maybe you can move defenders up. Where were the run pass options? There was no attempt. It's almost like, and you saw this especially in the third quarter when the Jets are down 24-3. They're down 3 touchdowns, and Adam Gase kicks a field goal instead of going for it on a fourth down, and you almost get the feeling that Adam Gase thinks, at some point, he is absolved from needing to try to win the game. That at some point, you suffer so many injuries that, you know what, it's not on me to try and win the game. This is, and he made excuses in the post-game press conference. He blamed injuries. He said, well, we were moving the ball pretty well, and then we suffered some injuries. It's almost like once Adam Gase hits this arbitrary point where he's decided the Jets have suffered too many injuries, you know what, are you expecting me to try and win the game? That's my job. My job is to try and win the game even when I have these injuries. Of course, it doesn't work, though, because the 49ers entered this game with no Richard Sherman. They had no George Kittle. They had no D Ford. During the game, they lost their quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo. They lost Raheem Mostert. They lost Nick Bosa. The Jets were playing the 49ers JV team. And maybe you say, okay, the 49ers have better backups than the Jets. Okay, fair enough. But that's no excuse for the Jets to not even be competitive. I don't care what Adam Gase says. Adam Gase is all about giving the ball to Frank Gore and making excuses for why his team can't play effectively. And what else? What are you expecting me to do? I gave the ball to Frank Gore. That's pretty much the Adam Gase philosophy. Now, ahead here on our show, we'll close it out, the last segment, by talking more about this just brutal loss for the Jets yesterday to the San Francisco 49ers. The new Built Bar is even more delicious. It comes in 18 amazing flavors, including caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. Built Bar is low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. Coconut almond has 18 grams protein, 180 calories, 5 grams sugar, 5 grams net carbs, while cookies and cream has 17 grams protein, 130 calories, 4 grams sugar, 4 grams net carbs. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON, one word, LOCKEDON, for $10 off at BuiltBar, BuiltBar.com. Locked On Jets podcast the day after the 49ers beat the Jets 31-13 at MetLife Stadium. I really don't know what the Jets were trying to accomplish yesterday with Sam Darnold. I talked in the last segment about the absurdity of giving Frank Gore 15 carries in the first half. And I mentioned a little bit that the Jets seem to have nothing but screens and maybe some short out routes in their playbook. At least that's the way it looked in this game. But I think about before the game kicked off, and the announcers mentioned how they had spoken to Adam Gase, and Gase said, well, it's a good thing that Richard Sherman's not out there because he gets into my head, and I change my play calling as a result. You could have fooled me that Gase had accounted for the fact Richard Sherman was not in this game because he looked like he was afraid to throw the ball. He really did. And I get it to an extent. To an extent, I'm sympathetic because even when this Jets offense is at full strength, there are personnel issues, and now you're playing with nothing but backup wide receivers. So I'd imagine to an extent it limits what you can accomplish. But it's almost like there's no point in playing Sam. Sam Darnold could have taken the game off yesterday because he was made irrelevant by the game plan. There was no attempt to try and make Sam Darnold do anything. Like, I can't say Sam Darnold played poorly. I can't say he played well because they asked him to do nothing. There was no attempt to try and put stress on this defense. These were like pre-designed plays where Darnold just gets rid of the ball as quickly as possible. And there was no attempt to spread the field a little bit, force the 49ers to show what they're doing. There was no attempt to try and change the tempo at all, which, it's tough to do when you're not gaining first downs to begin with. But I just don't understand what the game plan was. And it's almost like there's no point in having Sam Darnold. There's no point in having this coaching staff when you're not trying to develop a quarterback. You know, I've heard the Jets are trying to develop Darnold. They weren't trying to develop him yesterday. There was no attempt. That game plan was essentially trying to make the quarterback irrelevant. They might as well have had Josh McCown out there. Might as well have brought Josh McCown back and run that game plan with him because it really did not matter who played quarterback for the Jets yesterday. You were going to get those same results because there was no attempt to try and put stress on the defense. And, late in the game when they kind of had to, when they weren't giving the ball to Frank Gore, and they actually threw the ball down the field a couple times, they drew some penalties. There was at least some speed on the roster. And I'm not saying that there were great options for Adam Gase, but the options he chose were pretty bad themselves. There was no creativity in this offense. There was no attempt to force the 49ers to overcommit on plays. There was nothing. There was no attempt to try and force the 49ers to be aggressive and use that aggressiveness against them. There was nothing. And I don't really know what the point of having... Wasn't this guy brought in to develop the quarterback? Well, you sure could have fooled me that he was trying to develop the quarterback based on that performance. Now, if we're talking about guys who played poorly, Henry Anderson was brutal. First play of the game, he failed to set the edge on the long Mostert touchdown. He committed a roughing the passer penalty, a stupid penalty. This has been one of the bust free agent signings that has flown under the radar because he has been a complete disappointment since the Jets re-signed him. And he was constantly being pushed around in this game. Really ugly game for Henry Anderson. Marcus May. Now, look, I think we all knew Marcus May is not Jamal Adams. I think we all knew he was not going to sustain that week one performance where he looked like Jamal Adams. I think we also know he's not as bad as he showed yesterday, though, where he gives up a pair of touchdowns to Jordan Reed. He's part of a number of big completions against. Not very good. You're expected. I think Marcus May is probably going to be not as good as he was in week one, but not as bad as he was in week two for most of the year. Bless Austin kind of fell back to earth. Not a shocker. In week one, maybe he did not give up much in coverage, but that was also because the Bills just kept going after the guy on the other side of the field and having success. This week, the 49ers went after him more. I mean, I think Bless Austin at this point in his career is a guy who, if you play him in constrained zones, if you don't ask much of him, if you ask him to play in a small zone, he can do the job capably. But when you extend him beyond that, he has some problems. And he missed some tackles in the game. You know, I mentioned in the pregame that his tackling was going to be important. He missed some tackles. Alec Ogletree, you know, do you want to get on him too much because he was just signed off the practice squad? I don't know, but it certainly was not a good performance by Alec Ogletree. Alec Ogletree is about as immobile as any linebacker I've ever seen. Hopefully the Jets can get healthy at the linebacker position because that really hurt them. And I thought Neville Hewitt also had a pretty bad game as well. Bradley McDougal took some bad angles on some big 49ers runs, so that certainly was not good. On the offensive side of the ball, I thought Connor McGovern did not play well. Greg Van Roten had a pretty ugly whiff on a fourth down play where the Jets tried to run the ball with Josh Adams for some reason. I guess, I don't know, Frank Gore was available on that play because that was the only play the Jets could run. It was the rare play where the Jets did not give the ball to Frank Gore. Ugly. There really two bright spots for the Jets in this game. I think one was Quinnen Williams, who gave us the game we were hoping for. You know, I was talking all week about how the Jets needed more for Quinnen Williams. Well, it's tough to complain about Quinnen Williams' performance in this game. A pair of sacks, another tackle for a loss. Quinnen Williams looked like the guy we were hoping for week one against Buffalo. He looked like a guy who could be a difference maker. And then also Mekhi Becton looked really good in the early going before the brief period before Nick Bosa left the game. Becton was playing very well. And I thought he had a very solid game. You have to be very excited about his future. And at least he's the first piece of the offensive line rebuild. Jets are going to need to do more on the offensive line over the next few years. But it seems like they maybe, through two games, perhaps they found that first piece. But aside from Williams and Becton, there's really not much to be happy about with this team right now. I mean, let's be honest. It's embarrassing to go out and wear Jets apparel right now. This is the worst team in the NFL. They're horribly run. They went out there and embarrassed themselves yesterday. And the Jets kept pumping in this crowd noise, like as they kick a field goal. Again, they're down 24-3 in the third quarter and they kick a field goal. And I'm saying that's not realistic. If the fans were there, they'd be booing. It would be like Philadelphia where the Eagles pumped in boos after Carson Wentz threw an interception. This has just been brutal to watch these last 2 weeks. And I guess I'll close out the show by saying the same thing I said as it began. It starts with the owner. And something needs to improve. And I'm sure we'll talk about this tomorrow. I'm sure we'll talk about it in the days ahead, the weeks, the months ahead. Things need to change within this organization because efforts like this, what you saw yesterday and what you saw week one, are just unacceptable. And at some point, something has to change. That's all for our show today, however. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you like our show, subscribe to it, and please leave it a good review. I hope you have a good Monday, everybody. We'll be back again tomorrow to talk more Jets.